Tynwald, June Tynwald, June 2025. It looked as though we were, well, first of all, it looked as though we'd be finished in a day. And secondly, I was struggling to think, how was I going to make programmes to summarise what was going on when so little seemed to be happening? But we seem to have managed it. And despite three motions being pulled, there was quite a lot discussed. Do you think, Christian?
Yeah, the three which were pulled were kind of the main meat of the order paper. I suspect if they had gone on, then we probably would not still be there, but we probably wouldn't have long finished.
Yeah, it would certainly have gone into the Wednesday, wouldn't it? Questions. There were some interesting questions, not least the starred questions where we had discussion about the Everil inquiry. Now, the Everil inquiry reported back to Isle of Man government about in my first year as a minister back in 2006.
Was that a bit of throwback for you then?
Well, yes. And you think, gosh, why is this being raised? And Julie Edge, of course, asked the question of the Chief Minister. Chief Minister used it as you would as a minister, used it as an opportunity to explain all the things they had done. I think the last report in relation to the recommendations of the Everil inquiry was something around about 2015-14, sometime like that, at which time Council of Ministers said, well, okay, we now think we've covered all of this. We won't continue to report. So it was interesting that Julie Edge raised it. She's obviously got some concerns about the way in which vulnerable young people are being protected and cared for. The Chief Minister, though, was fairly upbeat, and we've got this committee and we've got that, and that these facilities
as
are
you would
there.
Expect.
Which is, yes, very much as you would expect. Then you had the question from Mr. Glover about when is senior race day not senior race day, and obviously it was definitely not senior race day this year. So we have our senior race day bank holiday. Senior race day is then supposed to happen now on a Saturday, not on the senior race day bank holiday. But it didn't happen at all.
There's definitely a lot of criticism still out there about the new schedule. And I mean, the minister did say that he was aware of all that criticism, but you know, ultimately he said that it comes down to his advisers, effectively, didn't he?
Yeah, and I suppose that's as you would hope. You wouldn't want politicians making bold decisions about how to run an international road race. You know, you would actually want people who know how to run international events to do that, not the politician. Politicians set the guidelines, but then you would want people to.
But there were some interesting things which Chris Thomas spoke about as well, about the kind of legalities around the TT being able to copyright strike YouTube videos, which is an interesting one.
Yes, that's surprising, and certainly when you are a TT organiser, and I was sort of involved because I was infrastructure minister twice. You have to bear in mind that you are relying on the goodwill of an awful lot of people to run that race, particularly people who live on the island, people who are Manx residents, whatever you want to call them. It's a dangerous route to go down. I guess they've probably got right on their side, but then this was an issue that was highlighted by Joni Farragher in her question about parts for jets potentially ending up in the conflict in the Middle East. I mean, she didn't go quite as far as... Oh, no, she did go as far as saying that. And what she was arguing was, OK, international law might allow this to happen.
But was it ethical?
But is it ethical?
And I don't think we actually got an answer on that, did we? We heard that there is a licence that exists that would be required to be able to make that, but I don't think we actually found out whether any such license was applied to any business here.
Yeah, and The chief minister basically said, "Well, we can't have ourselves in the position of being held hostage to fortune by what may or may not be the latest ethical view from Tynwald." You know, the point of Tynwald is it's a lawmaking body, not a body that makes ethical statements.
Ethics and law are two very different things, and I'm sure. I mean, the reason laws are changed is because enough people think that maybe they are not ethical enough that the lawmakers then decide to change them, I suppose. But like you say, when the law is written, there is no room for error, and the way it's interpreted is ultimately down to the courts.
And I suppose the point that Joni Farragher was making was, do you really want to be in a position of being deemed to be responsible in some small part for supplying weapons to a regime that is potentially going to be sanctioned at some time by the international court. So, an interesting and unusual question, that one. It wasn't one that we would normally expect to have in Tynwald. And then, well, I don't know. There were so many other questions there. There was a question to the MUA in relation to the Meteorological Office advice that the MUA has had in with regard to the Airystain wind farm. The chair was very, very clear that they'd had no advice that said that this was a bad idea. Then the supplementary was put in, well, have you had any advice, and indeed have you asked them?
Yep.
And the chair became a little less comfortable in the way he answered from that point on, I thought, but maybe I'm just being uncharitable.
Then we had tiles.
Yes, yeah.
Which was a I don't know what the right word to say is, but obviously the tiles at the NSC, that pool's been out, well, that section of the pool's been out of action since November 2023, I think, and obviously, we went down the route of, you know, where are we up to with analysing those reports? They've spent £13,500 on the report itself and the inspection of materials. And then we had from Jason Morehouse, can you guarantee that the pool will be up and running by the Island Games, which is in 2029, so we're still 4 years away. And she didn't actually give a firm commitment. She said she'd like to think it was, but there's no firm commitment there.
Yes, it's all very well. Again, any minister worth their salt is not going to give firm commitments unless they're really pushed. lots of interesting questions, and we didn't quite get to the end of the question paper. There were 27 questions in all, and I think we got possibly, was it 24 or 25?
20,
we
yeah,
got
about
to.
That, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So
they got a bit of a move on once the lunch timer was ticking.
Absolutely. They zipped through when they knew they only had half an hour left. But yeah, so that was questions. And then we moved on to the order paper. And one of the most bizarre bits of Tynwald business that I've come across, really, which is the Standing Committee on Tynwald of Tynwald on Public Accounts second report for the session Students Awards. And to this motion, the Minister for Education has made several amendments. I think there's five altogether. And the first of these amendments, I think it was, there had been a vote, and the vote had been won by a substantial number in the House of Keys, but it was then lost in LegCo. So at the May sitting of Tynwald, the minister said, well, can we have a combined vote on that? And for the listeners that aren't aware of the niceties of Tynwald voting, what usually happens is Keys vote and LegCo vote, and their votes are separate. So you need both houses to agree for something to be approved. If there is a disagreement, then the minister or the mover of an amendment, whoever it might be, can call for a combined vote if they think that they're going to get enough numbers to win that combined vote. Hmm. And that normally takes place at the next available sitting. So we had the May sitting. We got to Amendment A from Mrs. Kane, the Education Minister. That was lost because one or two members more than necessary in LegCo voted against, even though Keyes had substantially backed it. Mm. So then it came to June Tynwald. It got passed in June Tynwald. We got on, I think, then to recommendation. I think it might have been recommendation C. And the same thing happened. And the minister said, can I have a combined vote? And, of course, that now has to go to July Tynwald. And if, when they get to recommendations D and E, the same thing happens, we could be waiting until Christmas before the vote is completed on this.
Do you think that's a tactical decision?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, it certainly doesn't do any harm to the minister, because effectively the minister's amendments are clearly watering down the original intention of the Public Accounts Committee recommendations. So yeah, it doesn't do the minister any harm for the delay. And what I did ask the minister was, is it about time she read the book How to Win Friends and Influence People and use it when it comes to the Legislative Council? Because it's not often that
I think the exact words you were, do you need to take the Legislative Council out for coffee and buy them a cake?
Yes, absolutely. And maybe that's what needs to happen. So that was that the first item. Then the second item it was actually item four, because item one is papers being laid, item two is question time. So when we got to item four, this was Laurie Hooper's motion about schools' external validation, and he pulled that motion because the minister had done some deal and they're going to get information that they were hoping for. Laxey Wheel kiosk, or visitor kiosk, that was motion was pulled because the planning permission has gone through for that.
But
now,
the interesting thing is that's on the Register of Business for next month.
Right, okay.
So yeah. Who knows?
Well, it may yet appear. Then the member for Arbury, Castleton and Maloo, Mr. Moorhouse, was talking about external validation of schools, and he was asking that some of the bits would be dealt with in a more stringent way than perhaps the others, and I'm not sure the Education Minister was entirely happy with that as far as she was concerned. If you have a external validation of schools and education services and they make five areas of improvement, you have to deal with all five equally, not just pick and choose which ones.
I think his kind of point of contention was with, he doesn't want the reports to just sit there. He wants to start seeing some, like, the ball rolling. So that was kind of why he tried to do this. But he did make, like, a big point of he wanted it to be, like, a positive
Yes, he did.
Change. I think he was quite insistent, like, that he's not trying to be disruptive with this. I don't know whether he convinced the government, though.
I thought it was a really good winding up speech from Mr. Moorhouse. It was certainly the best I've heard him do. Very impressed. But yes, we'll see where that develops. Then Chris Thomas pulled his motion on the Westmorland Village Development and the Manx Development Corporation. The Family Library, there was a good debate on that. Mm. And I'm still not entirely clear that a solution had been found, but at least a way forward was found, which was that Treasury would talk to the directors and try and find out what was going on with the finances so that possibly help could be provided in some way.
I mean, as far as we know, obviously, it's going to be closing end of July, but Treasury is only going to bring forward any sort of kind of proposals, or it's going to be able to look at its accounts and bring them back for October. So as far as we know, it will be closing for that at least a few months if the directors do go through with that.
Then Kate Lord Brennan was asking whether Tynwald would consider changing the law of employment of children, which actually, there were some pretty convincing cases put that the rules and regulations governing the employment of children make it very difficult for children to actually be employed.
I was surprised by some of the things that Dawn Kinnish said about if you can't work more than 2 hours, if it's during term time, there are certain things you're not allowed to work with. That's like cleaning products, which are fairly standard industry tools if you are going to be a cleaner. If you're working in a kitchen, you're not allowed to use the cheese grater, even though it has a flap on it to stop you putting your fingers in there. All those sorts of things came as a bit of a surprise.
Yeah, it certainly for those of us who are old enough to have been driving tractors at 5 years old and things, it did seem quite surprising, some of but again, does anyone really want to have children being employed by potentially unscrupulous employers who potentially could exploit them? Then we had the All Age Support and Diagnosis Pathways for ADHD and Autism, moved by Joni Farragher again. Again, some good support there. What Joni Farragher said to me afterwards was, she'd gone to the department, she'd asked how emotion could be framed so that the department was most likely to be able to help. And indeed, this was seconded by the Health Minister, Claire Christian. And it does look as though some real progress is going to be made on that, which is very encouraging, I think.
One thing I wanted to quickly touch on is obviously the Dyspraxia, Dyslexia, Dyscalculia Committee. That was set up as a result of one of the Tynwald petitions from almost a year ago. So we're a year on and we've kind of only just really started up the Tynwald Committee. Obviously, we have the general election in just over a year's time. If it gets to the point where that committee hasn't brought forward its report or anything like that, and the MHKs that sit on that committee lose their seats, at that point it becomes the discretion of the next administration whether it's going to carry anything through.
Indeed, indeed. And it was ever thus. Then there were, at this point, I thought, right, I'll get into the Tynwald booth, ready to hand back to the studio. And we had six orders, none of which appeared to be that contentious, but actually contentious is what they proved to be. Public sector pensions ones went through okay. There was a health and safety at work one from DEFA, then social security, global minimum tax. There was some level of significant debate on those. But when we got to the Criminal Justice Police and Courts Act 2007, there were two, there was rules and what was the other one, an order. And members picked up on the fact that potentially you could end up with effectively children who had fallen into the various categories for electronic monitoring and things like this, being their details being released to the company that was going to be doing a lot of this work, which certainly led to some concern. And the minister certainly was pushed on this. The vote wasn't an absolute done deal, which. Yeah. It was quite surprising.
That must be quite nerve-wracking, being a minister. You've brought this in front of Tynwald and then suddenly they start picking away at bits and pieces and you start to see your argument crumble more and more, and then it comes down to the vote. Does it actually go through? It must be quite... I mean, you as a former minister, you must have had times where you thought, I don't know if this is going to happen.
Well, you always... My advice to any minister is... always make sure you know what people are going to say before you get to the vote. Anyway, that was June Tynwald in brief.
Thank you for making it to the end of the Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you.